All right. Welcome to episode 73, a special Friday edition of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. Today, I have a very special guest with me. I have Castro, the patron at the Cart and Horses, the birthplace of Iron Maiden. He is going to talk with us all about the pub, about the fundraiser that he is doing for Paul Di'Anno, stories of former members of Iron Maiden, but first up, when they started the crowdfunding, they were accused of it being a scam, so they had Paul Di'Anno record a quick message just to let people know that it was on the up and up and not a scam, so I thought that would be a good place to start off with. So up next, you will hear from Paul Di'Anno, and then you will hear my conversation with Castro.
I shall return.
This short clip of Paul Di'Anno that you are about to hear was taken directly from the Cart and Horses Facebook page.
Hi, everybody. I just want to say thank you to Castro, first of all, for sorting this thing out for me, which is absolutely amazing. And it was a nice surprise to get it as well. Thank you. And I also want to say thank you to everybody who's been donating so far. I really appreciate it. Don't deserve it, but I really appreciate it. Just want to get going and play music again. Get out of this horrible prison I'm in. Once again, the most important thing is you guys. Please stay safe and just do the best you can to keep alive. Music will be back sometime and hopefully I'll be in it. So take care. Love you. Much respect.
All right, welcome to Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. I have a very special guest with me this week. I have the patron saint, the patron of Cart and Horses in London, England, in the East End. I have Castro on the line with me. How are you doing, sir?
Good, man. Good. You?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Right off the bat, thank you for taking the time to come on here and talk.
No problem. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll get right into this. A friend of mine brought you to my attention because, well, obviously you are the patron over at Cart and Horses. And, but the, I guess something that's kind of new, well, there's a few newsworthy things about Cart and Horses as we've already kind of talked a little bit. But the first thing I want to get into, and it's a big deal going on right now, is on January 15th of this year, on your Facebook page, you guys announced that you were doing a crowdfunding for Paul Di'Anno to have knee surgery. How did you become aware of Paul's need for the knee replacement?
I met Paul about 4 years ago when he came at the car to do the question and answering thing. So we knew his situation, but this year, Paul kind of, let's say his situation didn't really go that well. So he was talking to one of the guys at the hospital there, and he said that it's going to take forever purely because of the COVID now.
Yeah.
And obviously he's been waiting now for 6 years almost for this operation, and he's just like never ending. They're pushing it back and pushing it back. So, and Paul started chatting to this doctor guy at the hospital, and just by chatting to him and saying, like, if you do it privately, the guy, the doctor said, it would be probably faster and better. And then Paul said, well, I haven't got the money to do that. So,
sure.
And, but he asked him just out of the blue, just to see how much it is. And he told him it would be in the region of like 20 something thousand pounds for both, because Paul needs both knees.
Yeah.
So then then somebody on Facebook asked him something. I'm not sure what it was. And Paul said the only way to do it is private, but I haven't got the money.
Yeah.
And as we were going through the list, through the comments in there, I saw somebody say that, but why don't you do this and why don't you do that? And I was like thinking, like, that's probably a good idea to do something like crowdfunded.
Sure.
So, and as I was reading the comments, I thought, why not? So let's just start. But I had to ask him first because I didn't want to do something without asking him. So I said to Paul, he's like, look, Paul, if we do this, do you think is a good idea or is a bad idea? And he said, Castro, he said, I feel bad. I don't want to ask people for money.
Yeah.
But in the situation that I'm now, if that happens or if that the money is raised, it would be special, would be something. And so I thought, why not? Let's just go for it then. So I started it. And at the beginning it was all right, actually. But there were a few comments, obviously, there. And it didn't help in a way. So people start thinking, that is it genuine? Basically, thinking that it's not true. It's a scam.
Sure.
So... So I had to explain to everybody, and I tried my best to like reply to everybody that was asking and going through that.
Yeah.
But it just got a bit too much in the end. It's like, it seems like even though I was replying to one person, the same question would be asked like 10 minutes down the line again.
So yeah, people not reading.
people were not reading it. So I had to ask the same question all over. And so it just went on and on. So
yeah.
But yeah, no, it started from there. I just saw the comment on Facebook. Somebody commented, so I thought, why not?
Okay. Well, that's interesting because I don't know, you know, because Paul Di'Anno is really not out there in the news a whole lot anyway. So I know I've seen videos of him performing in a wheelchair. So,
but
yeah, I didn't realize that was where he was at until I saw. I guess just real recently, because I didn't even know the funding was going on until my friend told me about it and talked about you. So how is it, how are you doing so far? Like you have a certain goal. Where are you at in terms of reaching that goal?
We are almost 50% almost done, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
So we are doing all right. But again, if we didn't have those bad comments and stuff, would have been even better. But it's a massive help. There are so many people out there that they want to help. They want to do, and some of the guys in America as well, they're doing concerts and stuff like that for him. So they're donating like tickets and CDs. They sell and they're doing auction things. They're selling stuff on their concerts and stuff. So
sure.
It's helping out, but it needs that support. And as I say all the time when I reply to people, even if you don't want to donate, do not put a bad word out there for it. You know?
Sure.
If you can't donate anything, just keep it quiet or send a message, send a nice message just in support. It's sometimes, even for him, when Paul reads those texts on Facebook himself, a nice support in there will be a little push for him to stand up for himself kind of thing. But when he reads all these bad comments, even for himself, it's down a little bit, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, but no, it's getting there. We'll get there because I'm doing all I could in here as well. I've done T-shirts now. I'm selling T-shirts for him.
Okay.
So I designed some T-shirts and stuff. So they're doing all right. But we just do whatever we can to try and raise as much as he needs for it.
Okay. So are you in any kind of like constant communication with him, or do you you speak with him periodically and update him, or how does that go?
Oh yeah. No, I speak to him whenever I need to ask him questions and stuff like that. Or whenever I need stuff, I had to send him some CD covers to sign as well because did a CD for Garden Horses. Because obviously us ourselves need help as well because we have been closed now for almost 2 years. So
wow.
Yeah, we closed for refurbishments and then the COVID hit us as well. And then so all that. So I had to send some CDs as well for him to sign. But gotcha. No, I'm in contact with him all the time. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, because getting ready to talk to you, I'd asked random different people questions and things like that. And mm-hmm. one question I've seen out there, but I haven't seen it addressed in any way, and I don't know that you would even have an answer for this, but I've seen some people saying, well, how come Iron Maiden themselves, how come the band is not getting involved in any way? Have you guys had any kind of, have you tried to communicate with the band for them to do anything or be involved in any way, or?
No, I haven't, to be honest, because purely I don't want to put things, what's the best way to say it now? It's not up to me, let's say, to go into them, because I have no connections with Iron Maiden themselves, let's say. Even when I talk about Steve and stuff, I go through his friends or his sister sometimes, or like close friends that he's got to chat, to get stuff from him, let's say. But to go to him, to go to Maiden, let's say, for something that is related to Maiden, I don't think that is me personally, or Garden Horses, let's say, the ones to contact them. I would love if they come forward and just cover whatever is left or say whatever. But I don't think it's not fair, but I don't think it's down to me to go to Maiden, because he's got friends and he's got connections with Maiden more than I have. So if Maiden wanted to, or if somebody else, or let's say wanted to, they would have done it. But so far, nothing, unfortunately, no.
Okay. I kind of understand. I understand what you're saying there. It would be kind of awkward probably to go ask them, but getting something for your place, which is obviously known as the birthplace of Iron Maiden, that's, I can totally see, that's definitely two different things.
Well, but that's the thing as well, because I do ask them sometimes, or I've asked now, especially with the renovation, for a few things to be donated to the Garden Horses, and I'm hoping they will. But for me now to go and ask them about something else now, which is not related to Garden Horses, I think it's not really right.
Right.
You know, it's not the right thing to do.
Because this is separate. This is a separate endeavor.
It's a separate from them. You know, and also is related. Himself is related to Maiden. It's not me related to Maiden.
Right.
You know? So for me, it's like big, like going to somebody else's family, asking for their family. You know.
Yeah.
An outsider coming for. You know. So.
I understand. Yeah. Yeah.
But, if anybody wants, and if anybody listens and has got connections to Maiden or to anybody there, why not? It would be great.
Sure. Now, I will put a link on the notes when I put the podcast out and everything, but if someone out there is hearing this and they want to give, where would they do that?
We've got the links on our on Facebook page, if you direct them in there, or I can send it to you. I can text it to you. But it's there. It's a link there. They just need to click on the link and then just put their details, and they can just donate as much as whatever they want.
Okay. Yeah. I'll definitely put a link in the show and make sure I'll do what I can to get it out there as well.
That's a big help. As I said, it's not about the money. Sometimes it's about the nice support that you can put out there.
Yeah. Okay, so the next question I have to get into here is the one we've discussed a little earlier. And I wanted to make sure it was okay with you to discuss it, because I just didn't want to be – I don't like creating controversy and false things like that. I wanted to make sure it's – whatever I say, I just want it to be cool with everybody. I'm not wanting to try to – I'm not this hard-hitting reporter or anything like that.
No problem.
But when I found out me and you were going to speak, I was talking to a friend of mine, and – I said, you know, he's doing this crowdfunding for Paul Di'Anno to have this knee surgery. And immediately he says, well, you know, Paul got in trouble with the government. He was basically, for a lack of a better word, you know, he was stealing money from the government, which, like I said earlier, the governments are the ones that we make money, and the government takes a ton of our money anyway. So they're stealing from us.
They're stealing from us, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have a choice, I guess. But So he said, well, why would I want to give and donate money to him when he was defrauding the government and he could have just been saving this money himself? And I said, and I talked to somebody about it. Well, okay, so I got that's one side of it. Then I talked to another person and they said, well, the thing is with Paul, Paul's a really nice, sweet guy. He got some bad advice from some people. I want to say I was told attorneys, but I'm not 100% sure. But they said he got some bad advice and he made some decisions that he didn't realize were going to be. I think he was given advice that he could get some help a certain way and he did it and it wasn't good information that he received. But to help somebody see the difference in, well, I'm not from England, obviously, so I don't know the exacts of everything, but to make somebody think that it would be okay to give and that what Paul did wasn't necessarily purposeful. He wasn't trying to defraud the government purposely. How would you kind of explain? Well, you know Paul, so how would you explain what I'm trying to ask here?
You kind of answered the question that you said, or no, you, your friend that you said, the second person. That I think that answers the question because, I mean, yeah, he did. He got a bad advice from somebody and he trusted and, yeah, he made a mistake. He learned from it. He paid for it. And but for the reason to donate and not to donate, I think as a human being, we've got the right to decide, let's say, what to do. And everybody's got the why not decide what either give or not. But
yes,
the question would ask those people that they don't want to or they want to say something, try not say something bad. All right, fair enough, you don't want to donate because you thought he's done this or he's done that. But to put something out there to say bad things about Paul, let's say now, it's not the time for it. As I said, he reads those things and he sees those things and it's not the motivation that he needs at the moment, you know?
Sure.
So for anybody out there that doesn't want to, just please try and not make it as bad as it is now to put it out to people that they want to help. So
sure.
If somebody doesn't want to help, let them do their own thing, you know? And then if they can't support or they can't help them, just better not say anything than say something bad. We all know what Paul's done. As we said as well in the beginning, as he took a bad advice, but he's paid for it now. So it's not the time now for that.
Yeah, that's something that my friend that I was talking to that was originally saying I wouldn't want to give to him. And then I told him, well, this is what one friend of mine said, you know, the side where he got bad advice. And then we got into this conversation about he committed a crime. Anyone that commits a crime, you know, Paul didn't go out and kill somebody. He didn't, you know, do anything like that. It's money. We've all made bad money decisions and we've all made bad decisions in our lives. He made whatever decision, whether knowingly or not, he went and spent time in jail, however it's said. He paid his crime and he also got out on good behavior early. Yeah. So, but no, at what point?
I mean, what he's done, sorry to interrupt, but what he's done for the reason or for the money that he's done or he was done for it, let's say, it was not something, as you said, it was not a crime or it was nothing big. I mean, he was doing gigs when he was not supposed to, let's say.
Sure.
And then, yes, as you said, he got a bad advisor. You can do this without making any, let's say, breaking the law. But then again, obviously, he was wrong by trusting people and he did it. So, but as we go at the beginning, he paid for it, you know? So, as you
said,
he came out early, he came out clean, he came out like in a good behavior. So, he was not that person that people make it out now that he was those bad boy. We all do mistakes. I mean, yes, in his youth, when he was in Maiden, for example, he was not in a clear mind, let's say. But we all did that. I mean, when we were young, we all do mistakes. We all make mistakes. Nobody is a saint in there, you know? So, but for people to turn the back on him now, when he needs those people the most, it's just, to me, it's not fair, let's say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, there's that saying, if you do the crime, you have to do the time. And the thing is, once you do the time, you enter back into, you've done what he did. The government said, here's what you have to do to make up for that. He did what he had to do. So that kind of should, you know, kind of like a chalkboard, you know, you erase the chalkboard and now you start with a clean slate again. And that's the way I look at it as well. Okay, funny enough, I had a conversation with a friend of mine recently, and this guy, he's older than me, but he went to prison for a couple of years, like way, way back when. And he said, when I got out, it was really hard to find a job anywhere because no one wants to allow you to get restarted. And people are good at holding grudges. So, it's good. I think my thing is, I think people need to forgive Paul and move on. And like you said, where in your heart, you have the opportunity to help somebody who needs help. So,
well, yeah, of course. I mean, as I said in the beginning, I didn't know Paul in the beginning. I only started, I mean, I met him like 4 years ago. So it's not that somebody that I knew, let's say, but by listening to his stories and his stuff and what he's gone through and what he's going through now, to me, it's just, the person, I just wanted to help him in a way, because he's been brilliant. Whenever I asked him for something, he was out of his way sometimes to do things. I mean, when he did the question and answer, the cart and horses with the fans, he even stayed later than he was supposed to, let's say. And he said, I'm not going anywhere, even though he was in a wheelchair and he couldn't even move properly. He said, no, I'm staying here until the last fan is here that needs my signature. I'm going to stay here.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So he kind of like, he's not that kind of person that goes, I'm not going to say it, but yeah, this, that, I'm going to leave it.
Right. You know? Yeah.
These guys don't deserve it or anything. No, he said, I'm going to stay here as long as they need me here. So he stayed. And actually, to be honest, in the beginning, when we did the question and answer, we limited to two or three maximum signatures per person, because people turned out there with bags and stuff with full of records and things to sign.
Yeah.
So we said, look, Paul, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We're going to put them all in a queue and blah, blah, and everybody's going to have two or three. And he said, no.
Yeah.
If somebody turned up with stuff to sign here, I'm going to sign them all. I don't care how many they have. So I want everybody to be happy, to leave happy from here. So in that sense, he was sick. He couldn't even move.
Yeah.
And he wanted to do the best he could for the fans that they turned up and wanted. But this is what made me like, this guy is not what people say about him. It's like this guy, you know, he's got a heart of a gold, to be honest.
That's what I've heard about him. I've heard, you know, he has this, you know, he has a reputation of whatever happened in the early stages of Iron Maiden and certain things that he's, you know, kind of a rough guy, but then that's the other thing I've heard is that he's the super sweetest, nicest guy. So
he's down to earth guy, to be honest. He's down to earth guy. And in any way, if he can help you, he will. I mean,
that's great.
Even though he needs money or he needs things now, he would never ask for anything. I mean, I get people sending me stuff and wanted to pay to get Paul to sign them, and he would never accept any money. He said, "No, I don't sign for money. I don't do anything of those stuff for money." So he is one of those. Even when as I said, I think in the beginning, Even when I said about this, he said, no, I don't want to do it because I feel bad. I don't deserve this kind of thing. And I was like, no, Paul, if we can do it, if we can make it, why would you want to sit there and wait for another 4 years or 5 years to get your operation in NHS for free? Well, free.
Sure.
It's not really, but yeah. But if we can make the money, if anybody wants to help us, why not? Let's just do it. But he feels like a shame to ask. The point is, he's such a nice guy. He doesn't want to ask people for money.
Right.
Basically. So
yeah.
So he's down to earth guy, but some people think that just because of his past.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I talked to in the last couple of weeks. I spoke with Dennis Stratton, Dennis Stratton, apparently, I didn't know this until he told me on the phone, but he used to. I don't know if he was the patron at Cart and Horses, but he used to run the Cart and Horses back in the early 90s, which I thought was interesting, knowing that I was going to talk to you. Yeah. So I asked you about being the patron, and I think you've explained this to me via a message, or maybe Luis told me. But for those that do not know, what exactly does it mean for you to be the patron at the Cart and Horses?
We rent. It's like a lease that we've got. Somebody else owns the building.
Okay.
And we lease the pub. And actually, we need to renew the lease now because the rent or the contract, let's say, how you call it, I'm not sure there, it was done as in a way that we will go in and the contracts finish when work starts. And the new contract starts when the work is finished. So we are going to start a new contract now because work is almost finished now there. But okay. Yeah, somebody owns the building and we rent it or lease it, let's say, from them.
Okay. Okay. So was it, because you said obviously there's the, it's being refurbished and fixed up and changed. And
yeah.
So is that something you are in charge of, or is that the owners of the building said, hey, we're going to go ahead and we want to change things up here?
No, they are in charge of it. We only are in charge of what needs to be inside. Like,
okay.
I mean, they're doing the most of the work and we are doing all the decorations and all the stuff that we want to do inside. But the major structure things, they are going to do there. So they are in charge of it. So we've got no say of if they have to do it quick or they have to finish it by this time or that time. Right. We've got no say, unfortunately, not.
So you've been there obviously for 4 years and that was before any of this happened. So what have you been there recently and seen, like, are you in there constantly seeing kind of what's going on or what it's looking like or?
Yeah, no, I go there every 2-3 weeks, you know, just to see what's going on and things to change, to direct them what we need and what needs to be done kind of thing in a way that we want to do it.
Yeah.
But in the last 3 months, 4 months, it's not really much been done purely because we were getting ready to open it for Christmas.
Mm. Yeah.
Last year. And thinking this COVID thing will end kind of thing.
But then
another lockdown came on and then the guys there, the builders and the constructors there, they said, look, it's going to happen. It's going to be like for another 3-4 months. So we are going to continue to work, but we're going to concentrate more at the back and doing the rest of the stuff because we know you guys are not going to be here for next 4 or 5 months. So there's no point.
Yeah.
So they haven't done much, let's say, in the last 4 or 5 months into the pub. But it's not much left, let's say, to be done now. Probably in about, if they do start or concentrate, let's say, on it, in a month and a half, it will be ready. Because it's only small details now to be done, and that's it. The major work is done.
Okay. So, for someone that has been there, is familiar with the place, because recently, and we discussed this earlier, I went on Twitter because someone sent me some information. It could have been me misreading their information. Mm-hmm. But either way, I didn't check at all. I just was like, okay.
Yeah.
So I was under the impression, because I don't, like I said, I don't know anything about it, but I was under the impression that the place had been basically torn to the ground, you know, and then completely rebuilt. So, which is wrong. So if you could kind of just from where it was for, you know, when you got there 4 years ago to what they've done now, what are the big changes that are happening?
The building itself is not touched at all. From outside, is nothing changed. It's exactly the same as it was. Actually, the only change would be, which is me actually pushing for it, is taking it back to the 70s.
Okay.
So that, because the back in the 70s, the front door and the side door and the things were different.
Okay.
So I want to move everything that how it was back in the 70s, let's say. So the front door, it will go to where the front door used to be. The side door is going to be where the side door used to be, kind of thing. And then, so basically outside, it's going to look as you see a picture back in the 70s, which I think I posted a year ago. how he's going to
okay.
be. Yeah. So I wanted that to make it look like same style from outside. When you look at it from outside, same as he was in the 70s, let's say, 70s, 80s.
Okay.
But
okay.
From inside, it's completely changed. It's nothing as he was inside. And purely because we lost half of the, I mean, as you said, you haven't been there, but if you were there before, half of the building was a hotel, and the top as well was a hotel. Okay. This part now is gone. It's not part anymore of the pub now. Now it's going to be flats.
Okay. Okay.
So we had the kitchen and we had the car park and the stuff at the back. So we had to take that out. So we lost that part, let's say. But we created a basement now, which used to be just a beer cellar room kind of thing, really small. And they dug down like almost 2 meters to create that space.
Okay.
But now, if you've been there before, when you walk in kind of thing, you would recognize it as a place, but you would not think that is the same garden horse as it was before. But it is better. It's going to be much, much better, much, much inviting, let's say, because it was run down. The pub was really old. The bar was probably since the 60s still the same bar. So everything was like really almost to pieces, let's say. We were just holding it up with patches around, like screws here and screws there. So it did, in a sense, it did need to be done. But let's say not in that extent that he's been done now, but it would be done much better, and it's going to look much better, and it's going to look much more maiden than it looked before. Especially upstairs one is going to look amazing. I mean, we've got some designs and some stuff that we've got in there. It's going to look amazing. And maiden fans, majority of them, they're going to love it. But you're always going to get like that 20, 30% of people. They're going to go like, no, we hate it. We liked it how it was.
Because
some of us don't like changes, unfortunately. And they like to have that old. And some of them, they're going to go like, oh, the stage is not original anymore.
And so for someone that says the stage is not the original stage that Iron Maiden played on in the 70s.
That was never
There was never a stage. Okay, can you share about that just real quick? Because I wouldn't have known this. Go ahead.
I explained to everybody and everybody that comes in and the pub as well. We keep telling them that the stage there was built in 2008 or between 2008 and 2010. So that stage was never there. When Maiden played there, there was no stage. They played on the floor level. So for people that complain that, oh, they sold the stage or they torn the stage apart and there's no more stage, there's no real thing anymore, that's just not right, because first of all, they don't know that there was a stage there.
Yeah.
And the second was like, was never a stage in there. So they shouldn't really be that worried about the stage, let's say. But it was a lot of things. The only thing that would have been there in that place would have been the bar itself. That was there when Maiden played there, and the floorboards. Apart from that, not really anything was there when Maiden played. So
yeah.
Stage was no. Stage was new. Stage was done in 2008, if I'm not wrong.
Okay. 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 So, okay. Question about you now. Are you from England?
No. I'm originally from Albania.
Okay. Okay. So how did you end up in England?
I came in 98. Since 98, I've been here.
Okay. Okay. Well, you're a pretty young guy, right?
Yeah. I like to say, yeah.
Gotcha.
43.
Okay. I've seen pictures and you look a lot younger. Well, then you look a lot younger than 43. So you're doing something right.
Well, I think it's the weather here that you don't get that much sun. So you don't.
That's understandable. Okay, so I thought this was interesting how you said the building is owned by whoever, you know, the landlord, I guess you would call it. And so when you go there, what are you doing? Because obviously you are a business person and you say, hey, the cart and horses becomes available somehow for you to be able to rent the place out. And how does that all come about for you?
It was through a friend of mine. That works with this guy, the landlord of the building.
Okay.
And they work together. So when this the landlord bought the building from the original owner, and he bought the building, and my friend said to more like the landlord asked my friend, do you know anybody that wants to run the bar? So, and okay. My friend asked me and his brother as well, because we are two of us partners.
Okay.
On it. And he asked me and he said, would you be interested to run the pub? So, and I said, to be honest, I said, I never run pubs before, because I always okay. worked in cocktail bars and restaurants and more like a fashion things rather sure. than okay. normal pub.
Right.
So I said to him, all right, I'll have a look, see what it is. Went there with my friend and looked at it. To be honest, it didn't click to me. It didn't tick the boxes, let's say.
Sure, sure.
Because it was a rundown bar, very old. The crowd there, the very old crowd kind of thing. It was live music night, and it was like 10 people in there, band playing on the stage, a bit like, how do you say it? Like bored, you know, they're playing there, but not really playing. They just want to play and then just go home kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, that's not for me. So I said to my friend, I said, look, it's just like, it's not really something that I would be interested in a way, because it's not really something that I can turn around. You know, it's going to take forever to turn around.
Sure.
And
sure.
Then he said, all right, let's have a look. And he said, let's go during the day and look around. We went the next day. We looked around the area kind of thing. And it was so much going on, you know, it's like new, because Stratford, where the area there is, Cart and Horses, it's really up and coming. I don't know if okay. you heard the Olympics in 2012 were in there. And I said, the area is changing, so maybe we could, because the landlord wants to rebuild the place. They want to change it. They want to do this and they want to do that. And I said, maybe we can. So then we decided to go for it, and just like, let's go for it then, and then run it as is in a way, and then change it after. So, because we didn't think there would be 3 years, because the landlord said within 6 months, maximum a year, we yeah. have to close it, because we want to renovate and we want to do all this work that is it's getting done now.
Yeah.
So we thought, all right, let's go for it then. We run it for 6 months, a year, or whatever it is. If we see it's worth it, then we keep it. If not, then we just decide to. But as I was going on, as we were running like that, trying to make money, let's say, it was really sure. hard. It was really hard. But then started to get to know people, starting to see people coming in, starting to see tourists coming in to take pictures and stuff. And I was like, what's going on in here? Because... Yeah. When I went the first night in there, we saw the stage that said birthplace of Iron Maiden. But to me, I never heard of Iron Maiden. I was not a fan of Iron Maiden, let's say. Oh, not Iron Maiden, but music, rock music. I was not into that music, let's say, at much. But yeah. as we went on, everybody said to me, how did you get it with it? And how did you become this? And I was like, look, to me in the beginning as well, it was not the Maiden or the music themselves. It was more of the history, listening to the guys that come in, or tourists, and talking about this and talking about that. I got into it more of this history of it rather than music-wise.
Sure. Sure.
So then just going back to the stage, I saw the stage, Iron Maiden, and guys playing in there. And to be honest, I thought it was a band that plays there regularly, so they have the name put down on the stage. So I didn't think of that.
Sure.
But from there, we just took it on. It was just like fans coming in, taking pictures. We started to open early, because we normally would open from 5 in the afternoon until 2 in the morning, nighttime.
Uh-huh.
So I said to my partner, look, we have to open it early, because people are – I felt bad for – for tourists coming, like for example from America or Brazil. There used to be a lot of people coming from Brazil and coming and waiting outside to take pictures for us to open, to come inside to take pictures. And I was like, no, we can't do this. We need to open during the day as well, so people can come in and take pictures and have a beer or something.
Yeah. But
that's how I started to feel in love with it, kind of thing, you know, because
that's cool.
Because it's the fans that they made me that. And then I started to know those ex-maidens and I started to talk to them and starting to learn more about them and the history of them as well and how they came in and out and stuff. And as you say, Dennis Stratton, how he owned the place or ran the place, not owned the place.
Right.
And all this started to come together, you know, and I kind of like felt in love with it and the whole story and whole thing. And all these ex-members of Maiden, they made me feel welcome as well. And they realized that I was doing something right and trying to save the history of the pub. And all this became together. And then now I'm stuck.
Oh, gosh. So how many former members have you met from being up there? Because I know you did it's 3 years ago now, roughly, that you had the Cart and Horses Appreciation Day and you had multiple former members there. So
I met quite a lot, to be honest. Ex-members, I met a lot of them. I mean, few of them, they play in their like monthly now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But they do come and go. They come like even to see gigs nowadays. They come.
Okay.
And but yeah, there's a lot of them. They do come in there now. I mean, they find it a bit, because the thing is, I wanted to turn it into more a welcoming place for all of them, not just regular pub that is just for the locals, let's say, because the pub itself has got a history, and also add Maiden to it. It makes it unique, let's say. So,
oh yeah,
I know they do come quite a lot of them nowadays.
Okay, well, let me ask. This is a what do you know? What year the Cart and I know you know this. I know you'll know this. What year did the Cart and Horses open originally? Like way back.
Cart and Horses opened in 1760.
Wow.
But it was as a Cart and Horses. It was like a few doors down the building.
Okay.
But then in 1880, it's the existing one that is now.
Okay. Yeah, I think Iron Maiden played there in the, like, 1890s, maybe. I'm kidding.
Yeah. But no, 1880, since 1880, it's in the same place where it is now.
Oh, wow. Now, yeah. We've got it on. I mentioned.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, just saying, we had it on our T-shirts and stuff that we sold since 1880.
Oh, cool.
Because
I'm going to have to get me some of that. So I won't have to get me a t-shirt. When I was on the Facebook page, I just saw some of the different designs y'all got. And I was like, that's some really cool stuff. So,
yeah, it's few designs and few. I mean, we've changed the t-shirts about 3 times or 4 times since we took over. So, okay. Yeah, because they're getting better and better.
Yeah. So
we learn every day.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Now, I mentioned the Cart and Horses Appreciation Day, where you had a bunch of former members of Iron Maiden. How did that go as far as, like, what kind of fan reaction did you get with former members showing up and playing, like, all together?
That was mainly for Paul Mario Day. That was the first singer of Iron Maiden.
Right.
That was done in his honor. He's, because he lives in Australia.
Oh, okay.
And he's never been back since he left Maiden. He's never been back in England either.
Okay.
So he was back after like 30, almost 40 years after he left the UK. He came back to UK. So we did that for him. And being the first Iron Maiden singer.
Sure.
It was something special for us as well. And he was the only one that played most of those gigs at Cart and Horses.
Okay.
Because the second one was Dennis Wilcock, and he played only few after that. So,
okay.
But Paul Mario Day was the first singer, and he's the one that played most of those gigs. So we wanted to do something for him. And we had the other guys as well turn up. So it was nice. And to have them
That's really cool.
have on stage those all those former members all in one was something special. Yeah, definitely.
That's really neat. That's really neat. Now, you mentioned Dennis Wilcock. Has he ever come up there and done anything? Or
we did, yeah. He did a few gigs because he had a band, a V1 band.
Okay, yeah.
V1 Gibraltar, but V1. We did a few gigs between 2018 and 19. We did a few gigs with his band.
Okay.
But after the court and all that stuff, we stopped. Because obviously he was concentrating on that and he was getting bad reviews or bad comments and stuff from Maiden fans, and we really didn't want that to happen in a place like us.
Yeah.
So we thought we better not go through that, and he decided as well it's best for us, for Garden Horses, not to do all this. He said, okay. Look, because he's in a way, as much as Maiden fans hate him, he's such a nice guy as well. He was so supportive to me as well when I first started in there. He was really nice and appreciating again what I was doing and what I was trying to achieve in there, and doing few gigs purely just to help me out, doing few gigs at Garden Horse as well with these bands. So in a way, I did appreciate, to be honest, what he's done for me.
Okay.
But because of that, because of what happened with Maiden and all that, even though it was not his fault completely, he said as well it was best for Garden Horses not to have him anymore in there. So we decided not to.
Yeah, I wasn't even aware of any. I guess I'm not aware of what happened, but of any backlash. I won't ask you about it just because it doesn't sound like it's a pleasant thing.
No. I mean, it's not a big deal, but it's just things that went on in there. And it was not. Yeah. It was not completely his fault, as I said. It was the guy doing it. But again,
yeah.
What can you do?
Yeah. Okay. Well, around whenever you had Paul Mario Day in, and you had the Cart and Horses Appreciation Day for him and everything, there was some kind of a CD that was made to raise funds at some point in between here and there to keep the cart and horses running. What exactly was the CD that was, I'm guessing that's the one you were probably talking about Paul signing as well, right?
Yeah. We actually did it. Well, we started in September last year, September, October time.
Okay.
And again, it was one of the ex-member guys, Terry Webram, that's suggested. Okay. And Mike Chudley is one of the guys that is known for knowing about Maiden.
Yeah.
And that's how it started. It kind of like, if we want to do something and raise some money because we were so long closed and then the COVID hit us and stuff, to try and create some money or to make some money to do the new stage.
Sure.
In the basement. So they said, well, why not do this? And Terry said that we can donate some songs, he said, from my stuff, and I can make up some other songs from other bands and stuff, and we can do a CD.
Okay.
And Mike Chudley, he said the same thing. He said, I can help you any way I can. I can try and organize things and do a few things around with it and help Terry as well and kind of produce something together. So the idea came there. So we started doing it. And then the other idea came to ask all the ex-members. Well, first actually was for the band that they played there. Because we had a few bands, as you said, for the Maiden Connections ones, like ex-members, to get a song from all of them and then put it on a CD. So we thought, let's ask them. So then we started this way, and we asked Paul Diano, and he was, why not? If he helps you, why not? And then we asked again Paul Day, because he's had a few bands as well, and he was the same. And we started asking all of them, and they all went out for it. And it's like, why not? Let's do it. If it helps you guys out, why not? So they're all out there to help me, let's say, on this project. So then it became like 12, 13, 14 songs in the CD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
that's really 10, cool.
10 ex-members of Iron Maiden in there on that CD.
That's awesome. Now, for someone like me, I don't obviously have that. But do you still have some of those available to sell?
Yeah, they are on our website and our web page. I mean, our Facebook page. If you click on there, you'll see it is in there.
Okay. Cool.
So we pre-sold the signed version of it. It was pre-sale. Sure. Because obviously we wanted to make some money in advance to pay for the CDs themselves.
Sure.
So we pre-sold some, and those ones came with the signatures.
Okay. And,
but yeah, no, we definitely have a few more in stock. So if anybody wants, click on our website or on our Facebook page, you'll see them there.
Okay. Cool deal. Okay. Yep. I got about two more questions here for you.
No problem.
Now, just on your Facebook page, it says that you're closed until the summer. And are you thinking they're going to be done with all the refurbishments by then?
Oh, no, for sure. Refurbishment will be done by then. We'll be done even before then. But the point is, are we going to be able to open?
To open, yeah. Okay.
I mean, the question is not if it's ready or not. Ready will be, as I said, in a month, maximum two.
Okay.
But the question is if the COVID lets us open.
Yeah.
Because if it is restrictions and we can't have live music or we can't have more than, let's say, three people or four people a table inside, and we have only five, six tables for 20 people, is it point for us to open? So
yeah, that's
the question of are we allowed to or not. It's not a question of if it's going to be ready or not.
Yeah. Well, I hope that. I mean, obviously, we all want things to get back. We all want live music back, and people to be able to get out there and safely do it without restrictions. To be, you know, totally honest about it. So I hope that happens sooner than later for you guys. I live in Texas, and Texas is pretty much, we're open. We're open for business almost. So I'm hoping that the same thing will happen over there sooner than later as well. Cause I know it's gotta be tough, you know, that's your career is running that place, and being shut down can't be easy.
It is. And, we all got bills to pay, and we all got things to do, you know. And to me, I've only been surviving, let's say, in merchandise stuff for the past year or something. So it is hard. But let's hope all this comes together, and let's hope we can open soon.
Well, I hope that a lot of people will hear this and not only want to support Paul and, you know, his knee surgery, but to know that you guys have a lot of cool merchandise out there. And Iron Maiden fans are a little silly with, you know, you see the Iron Maiden logo slapped on something and you go, hey, that looks really awesome. So hopefully you get some people seeing that, you know, and go over to the Facebook page for Cart and Horses. And what's the website? Is it just cartandhorses.co.uk?
No, cartandhorses.london.
Cartandhorses.london. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Now, the last question I had for you is, you've met a lot of former members of the band. You've been there for 4 years. What I want to ask you just to give one really, just, I don't know if you have a funny story or just a really cool story that's happened. You've already mentioned quite a few things, but just something, a great story that might be involving fans or a former member or even both of them together.
I'm not sure, actually. I mean, probably I would say when we had the Maiden Days, it was funny to me because, as I said in the beginning, I wasn't a fan before.
Yeah.
And when the first Maiden concert we did those 2 days. We did a Maiden Day, and it was pretty much a full day thing. And it was people coming every day there, so we had we had security first day because I didn't know what's going to happen. And I've just been told that the place is going to be ramped with Maiden fans.
Right.
And I was like, okay, right. So if it's going to be that busy, we're going to need security here. Security, at the back door kind of thing. So to control the things in there and make sure nobody starts fighting and all this and all that. And
right.
So the first day I put the security on the door and things like that. And then I was like, okay, we need to trying to explain to security. They're going to be mainly guys. They're going to be with all, but you have to be on your toes because they're all fans. They will all do silly stuff and thinking of all those crazy things that you do in concerts.
Sure.
And preparing him for the war, basically. so we went through that. And as we were going during the day, we were going through people and people coming in and out, and everybody was laughing and happy and kind of like hugging each other. And I was like, geez, man, this is completely different. Right. And the second day I said to the security guy, I was like, look, we don't really need the security. And I said, what do you mean? I was like, nah, it's no point. So we didn't have a security the next day. And yeah. Everybody was so friendly, going back to what you said about the fans and stuff. It's just a nice feeling when you've got those people. Yes, the pub was full, but everybody was so happy. Everybody was so in a mood to party and so in a mood to enjoy and happy to be in the cart and horses itself. So it was an experience for me to see like how nice these people are.
Yeah.
You don't see them as they're like animals, let's say.
Yeah. They're
genuinely nice people just because they have tattoos or they've got, I don't know, stamps.
They listen to this heavy metal music and.
It doesn't matter if they got all these patches and all these jackets and Harley Davidsons outside and stuff.
Yeah.
They're such a nice people. So I said to security that you just come in if you want to have a drink, but not to work because these people are so nice and so friendly. So, but yeah, no, it is a good experience for me there as well. I've learned a lot and through these people as well and meeting such a nice people like that. And
yeah,
it is a nice feeling, let's say.
You know, that says a lot. It really does, because I've taken my daughter. My daughter is currently 14, but over the last 6 years, I've taken her to see Maiden twice. And I was asking her, I've had her on my podcast every now and then. And I asked her about, you know, being at a concert and everything. She says, one thing about going to like a show like that, you know, whether it's Iron Maiden or somebody else, she said, is all the people are really nice. You said, you see these rough looking people, the Harley Davidson guys, the tattoos, just rough looking guys. And that, like, you know, you think about concerts and you think, man, this is going to be a rough crowd. And you know, Iron Maiden has a song, and I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but it's called Blood Brothers. You know, when they do the song, they do it live, and they basically say, look, we don't care if you're gay or straight or what your religion is or what your beliefs are or anything. We're all in this together. And that's what I've noticed about Maiden fans too, is you can get into a discussion with a Maiden fan about, I like this guy better, I like this guy better. And no one is screaming and yelling and cussing, you know, through the internet or whatever. No one's screaming and yelling or cussing at each other. Everyone kind of goes, okay, well, that's okay if you feel that way. Everyone is pretty civil, and it's just, it's the Maiden fan base is just, it's unlike a lot of others. Yeah.
They're amazing. I mean, I've got lots of people as well on our page as well, and also through other pages that they support us as well on whatever we can. And I've got people that they do things even for free sometimes just because they are Maiden or we are trying to keep the Maiden history. And it's amazing. It's amazing how they react to things like that. And as soon as they see that you're a Maiden fan as well, they just do whatever they can. They're generally they're amazing. Doesn't matter where they're from, doesn't matter where they, what religion, they're just amazing.
I mean,
we've learned a lot there. And as I said, this is why we open during the day. We don't open because of business, but we open purely because two people or three people come all day. But those two people, three people come from America or Brazil or whatever. They traveled all the way from there to come and see it. And then to find the pub shut, it's sad.
I mean, I
get people now coming down there because they're not on our page or they don't see it, that we are closed. And I feel so sad because they traveled all the way to come and see it. And then they see it is closed. Yeah. And then you get people telling them off why you didn't check this and why didn't check. Some people are not on Facebook,
so you can't really
tell them then to check this or to check that. So I do feel sad because they go there and they find it closed.
Yeah. Well, I'm personally hoping that as things get opened back up, I have a goal to make it over there at some point, you know, in the next year or two and meet people that I've met through my podcast. And I told somebody, I said, look, I don't even drink, but there's no way I would go to London and not go to the Cart and Horses. You know, I'd have to. And
yeah, but so, that's the thing. You didn't have to drink. You just come in, take some pictures and do some things in there. And just like, that's what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And buy some, you know, buy t-shirts and hats and whatever, yeah, you
mean,
know,
whatever it is. But even if it's not, I mean, we get people coming down as well. And actually some people even tell us, why do you bother opening the door for them when they're not buying anything or you're not selling anything to them? Because they just come in to take a picture. But it's just like not really nice. I mean, imagine yourself if you're a fan of something, even if you're a fan of a chocolate, you know, and you go there and you want to take a picture of something that looks nice like a chocolate. And you're like, no, unless you buy it, you can't take a picture. It's not nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, man, again, I want to thank you for your time. And my friend Luis that got us in touch with each other, he the one thing he said about you is he said, man, Castro, he's a nice guy. He's good people. And I got to say, you are. I really appreciate your time, sir.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks to Luis as well.
Yeah.
For the kind words.
Yeah. I will send you, I'll send you a link to this once I get it put out here in the next several days.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. And if you need anything, any links or anything, just send me a text or something and I can forward it to you.
Absolutely. Hey, I appreciate your time, sir. Have a enjoy the rest of your day. Take care.
Thank you very much. And I'll speak to you soon, man.
All right. Goodbye.
Take care. Thanks.
Bye.
All right. Well, there you have it. That was my conversation with Castro. I hope you enjoyed it. There was a lot of interesting information in there. If you would like to donate to the crowdfunding page for Paul Diano's knee surgery, I will have a link in the show notes as well. So thank you. And on behalf of myself, Castro, Iron Maiden, Eddie, and the boys, good night.
I shall return.